I think everyone believes he or she is far from perfect. We may put up a good front, but inside, we're far more humble. And yet there is little or no distress over omission. We just don't class it with transgression. We seldom repent. We may be aware of some degree of loss through neglect, but there is seldom any load of guilt. First, what is the nature of these sins of omission? Sin is defined as known opposition to the will of God. Isn't it the same, therefore, should I fail to do what is required? Am I any less sinful? Is negative sin any less sin than positive sin? Should I fail to honor my father and my mother? Am I not breaking the rule equally as though I had deliberately dishonored them? Isn't my failure to honor my father and my mother as open a transgression as other rules, like thou shalt not steal or thou shalt not kill? But you may remark that human law doesn't view it the same. The paramount object of human laws is not to enforce morality as such, but to secure social order. Again, the virtues required of us are being so defined that they can be made to take the form of positive law. There is the virtue of benevolence. It is my duty as a human being to relieve the distressed. But what law can tell me whom, and how much, and how often? And a great part of my virtue depends upon my motive. Motives, for the most part, are beyond the reach of human jurisdiction. Only God and myself know why I did or didn't do something. God looketh on the heart. And thus, human law is content to restrain men from the commission of crime. Morality is another question, and Christian morality is something else. According to Jesus, mister, it was no excuse that the unprofitable servant had not wasted or misused his talent. He was cast into utter darkness because he had not added to his talent. He had not even tried. A Christian is not made up of negative qualities. It is not enough that he abstains from evil. He must do good. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Even if a man were to keep the Ten Commandments ever so strictly, it would not make him a good Christian. It would only make him a good citizen. A man may keep all the commandments, yet not fulfill one of the Beatitudes. A man is not a good man merely because he is not a bad man. A believer is not made of negative qualities. You are not a Christian by virtue of what you haven't done. You are a Christian by virtue of what you have done. You are not a Christian by virtue of what you are not. You are a Christian by virtue of what you are. The Sermon on the Mount was preached to show that external and negative morality, which satisfied them of old, would satisfy no longer. Now, under the gospel, lady, it is not enough that we do not hate our enemy. We must love him. It is not enough that we do not return evil for evil. We must overcome evil with good. Whoever starts in life with the notion that nothing is absolutely required of him but to abstain from wrongdoing forgets that he has to answer for life itself. You must do something with your life, fella. Yes, you and I sin by omission. Now, what is the punishment? First, we punish ourselves. Who will say that the aggregate of loss, failure, and suffering occasioned by anger or revenge is greater than occasioned by indolence? I believe hordes of people will end in hell because of lazy preachers. They were never angry. They never held a grudge. They were always pleasant. But those preachers were lazy. It's a sin of omission. Moreover, one sin of omission, such as laziness, can open the door to a dozen sins of commission, like theft and adultery. If you do not ruggedly fortify yourself against temptation, if you always take the path of least resistance, you become a prime target. I know what havoc anger and self-indulgence can create. And how can I prevent such tragedy? I can prevent it by practicing self-control. I always, always pay for my neglect, always. The man executed for murder was probably executed because he failed to train and exercise himself in self-control. The greater sin was the sin of omission. Second, the highest duty of man, and that which underlies all his other duties, is the duty of self-improvement, of moral progress. It is incumbent upon me to become a better man today than I was yesterday, a better husband, a better preacher, a better citizen. We were born neither virtuous or vicious. There is power to become available. I arrive with capacities toward either evil or good, and it will depend how I use or abuse, cultivate or neglect, the powers and the opportunities placed before me as persons and not things. We are to be what we become in consequence of what we choose to do or leave undone. God furnishes the opportunity and the tools, but I must do the rest. I must answer to God for what I may be in him. God can only use and bless an effort. The moment I cease, I tie God's hands. Character isn't an accident. It is built. A man may have good or bad impulses. It does not follow that he has good or bad character, or any character, except perhaps that of fickleness and instability, which really add to one thing, want of character. There is doubtless a sense in which it is spontaneous and natural for men to tell the truth. Yet, we do not call a man of truth until by self-discipline he has acquired so confirmed a habit of strict adherence to the truth that his word is never questioned. There is a sense in which it is spontaneous and natural for men to pray. Everybody prays in trouble, but we do not call a man of prayer until by constant practice prayer has become a habit with him. The same is true with piety, integrity, devotion. They are the fruit of discipline. They are the products of assiduous and long-continued self-culture. Virtue is never automatic. Sins of commission interrupt us and throw us back, but sins of omission make it impossible for progress to begin. And third, we incapacitate ourselves for what we could achieve. By failing to take proper physical exercise in my 30s, 40s, and 50s, I make it impossible to live as I should in my 60s, 70s, and 80s. A spiritual man is a man who is strong in inner might. He has nurtured aspirations. It is laid out so beautifully in Hebrews 11. By faith Moses, by faith Abraham, by faith Joseph, they sought championships and they obtained them. An unspiritual man is at a standstill. It doesn't matter to him one way or another. And you see it every Sunday morning, both on the platform and in the pew. There is lack of burden. It matters not whether the song in hand grips and accomplishes something or not. The only concern is that it is sung. No one works at it. Now, a farmer must work at it. He must cultivate. It's not enough to plow and disc and sow. He continues to work the soil. Faith must be cultivated. Prayer must be cultivated. Praise must be cultivated. Giving must be cultivated. Otherwise, achievements that could be are never realized. And that's the worst form of defeat, default. Churches where this indifferent, casual, slipshod, just do enough to get by attitude is prevalent are church traps. They will destroy you. They'll never excite your potential. They don't challenge you to more noble things. And I'll tell you something. You'll always shoot a better round of golf when you play with improved players who are intent on the game. And that's why, parents, it's so important to place your children with a church in town that has taken the initiative. Their character is forming, and if they are exposed to a drifting status quo, indifferent Sunday school and church schedule, they will form such a character, and once formed, it's unlikely to change in later life. That's the eternal damage, such an easygoing, it really doesn't matter. Let's see what will happen kind of church is doing to your children. You can't afford that damage, parent. With rare exceptions, once unspiritual, always unspiritual. Every service should have a goal, preacher. It should never be just a service. And fourth and last, my neglect reflects on others. Others gain or lose with me. Athletic teams are so conscious of this. One player's attitude can either pull down the rest of the team or give it a tremendous lift. So often, you may withhold a word. Had you taken the step and given a faithful counsel and offered warning to a friend, such a step might have prevented the subsequent tragedy. Sometimes it takes only a look. Christ looked at Peter and a man tumbling toward an open hell as quickly as Judas righted himself and went out and wept bitterly. Sometimes a warm handshake will do it, or a pat on the back. And not to give this word, not to offer the look, nor give the pat on the back is a sin of omission. Such sins pile up staggering losses in the community. Now our friends are not satisfied with knowing that we are not drunkards, with knowing that we're not addicted to drugs. They want their association to be meaningful. I'm afraid, sir, there's another side to the common complaint. They used to know us. Now they seem to have forgotten us, to have passed us by. Well, you aren't offering any challenge. You aren't going anywhere. You've stopped growing, so they look elsewhere. They turn toward lives that are still improving. Formerly, they thought you were going places. Now they're convinced that you really don't care, and that is why they've turned elsewhere. So it's a sin to disappoint people, to let people down. It's base ingratitude. Yes. Sins of omission are serious. Carelessness, the failure to obtain the best in one tiny 15-cent bolt or screw, can abort or endanger an entire moonshot. I need not be willful. I need only to be careless. Then how shall I escape? If I neglect so great salvation? Regrets, negligence, default are some of the heaviest burdens borne by humans. They can crack and crush lives. You and I need relief. We can find such relief at this long, long altar as in these next 10 seconds. The Holy Spirit uses the invitation, there's room at the cross for you.
There's room at the cross for you.
Now you've lugged her around long enough, though. I should have done, and it's all my fault, and if I had to do it over again, it's time to lay those burdens down. Calvary covers sins of omission as well as sins of commission. Together now, we're going to commit your faults and your failures. Savior sent of God, cancel the condemnation which lays so heavily upon our souls. Grant us heart knowledge that our past is secured in thy grace toward us. Grant us victories where we have suffered defeats. Make our testimonies effective through daily living. Bless this broadcast service to our souls in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel these lines as we hurry toward this year's worldwide intercessory prayer meeting by A.S. Bulworth. There's a holy high vocation needing workers everywhere. 'Tis the highest form of service, 'tis the ministry of prayer. In these days of tribulation, wickedness pervades the air. And the battles we engage in must be won by fervent prayer. There's no weapon half so mighty as that the intercessors bear, nor a broader field of service than the ministry of prayer. So I ask you to be an important link in this year Revival Time Intercessory Worldwide Prayer Meeting. And that brings us to a point at this broadcast altar where the cloud and the pillar of fire hover. I see with eyes of spiritual discernment one of our American servicemen battling terribly to keep his Christian posture before his immediate superior, who is not a Christian and who has had a very low estimate of those who claim to be Christian. This serviceman is suffering from heckling and uncalled-for rough treatment. But God sees you, fella, as he saw Joseph and Daniel under similar pressure. And now, he has come to you at this moment with added grace, courage, and favor. You're going to enjoy a very, very great victory. Christ, we all thank thee for this assurance to this man, our friend in need at this long, long altar. We rejoice for his sake and for the honor of thy cause. The Revival Time Ministries never stop. They comfort, they encourage millions. This service now is not a presentation of either a corporation or a foundation, and there's nothing to join. We are a growing network of believers who have discovered and now proclaim and practice daily that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.
You have just heard Evangelist C.M. Ward in a message called Sins of Omission, For a free copy of this message, write to Revival Time, Springfield, Missouri, USA. When you write out your requests, write them carefully so we can read them easily. Please give the names of people and their needs. As soon as we receive your letter, we will send your Bible marker. Why not invite someone to listen with you next week? Thank you for including the Revival Time Ministries in your stewardship. Next week, radio evangelist C.M. Ward's theme will be Put Shoes on His Feet. You are always welcome to attend the services at the Assemblies of God Church in your community, displaying the Revival Time sign.
Oh, that with yonder sacred throne we at His feet may fall.
Until it is our privilege to meet with you again this same time next week, this is Lee Schultz saying thanks for inviting us in and urging you to send your offering for this worldwide missionary crusade to Revival Time, Springfield, Missouri, USA.